Good morning, and it's good to be here, and I appreciate the invitation to come and speak to y'all this week, this whole entire week. And as one of our friends back in Oklahoma said, this was a very great honor, and he was very pleased that y'all had asked me to speak. This is a great honor also. What I thought we would do, the topic that we would cover this week would be miracles as a whole, but I thought for this first lesson, what we would cover is the first series of miracles that God ever performed on creation. And so, and the main purpose that I want us to look at is we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 1. Is going to be what reason why we'll be covering that this morning. And the purpose of this is because many people have the wrong thought, even Bible believers that I'm talking about, that God does not define what a day is, and that the 6 days of creation are not 6 literal days. And this false view, for some reason, has spread much worse than it should have. And I think it originates from people wanting to harmonize the Bible and God's Word with the atheistic view that there is no God, and the current atheistic scientific views, and there is no harmony, because the atheist and the unfortunate current scientific view does not believe that there is a God. And so all of these views are stemmed from that and point toward showing that there is no God. But we want to turn to Genesis chapter 1, and we will see that God clearly defines what each day is, and that God is definitely saying that there are 6 literal days of creation. So we'll start with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So in the beginning of what? This is in the beginning of time. Before this, there was no time, and God created the heavens and the earth. Originally by Moses to the Hebrews, and so there's a couple of terms that Moses uses here that the Hebrews would understand, but we have to understand how the Hebrews think and how they understand things. And one of these terms is right here, the heavens. The Hebrews had what they call 3 different heavens. The first heaven is what we call the sky. The second heaven is what we call space. And then the third heaven is what we call, get the context of what it's talking about to figure out if it's the Hebrew first, second, or third heaven. This one here is talking about the second heaven, so space. So what if we wrote this today, we would say in the beginning of time, God created space and the earth. So at this particular point in time, if we were to go back in time and view everything of all existence, all we would see is vast, endless space that is completely empty except for earth. And everything is dark. There's no light or anything at this point in time. So verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So it says the earth was without form. What that means is it had no shape, which this is talking about topographically. So there was no land at this time, and water is shapeless or formless. It always makes the shape of the container that it is in. So that's why it says that it is without form or shapeless, because the earth is completely covered with water at this time. and it is void or empty. There is no life, nothing in the water. And then we also find something about God right here that comes into play later on in this chapter, that God is a spirit. And that is very important later on after God creates man. So we find out those things in this verse. Verse 3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. So God speaks light into existence. What is this light? We know what it is not, and it is not the sun, because the sun is created on day 4. So, but whatever this light source is, it is in a fixed position, and the earth is already rotating, because we are about to see that there is going to be light and darkness, day and night already, because of this. And another thing that we can infer of what's already going on to tell us that the earth is rotating is because of the fact that there is water, there's already gravity that's caused by the rotation of the earth, because otherwise the water is not floating away into space. It is being held together to the earth by gravity. And then this light and day, those are the two things that show that the earth is rotating already at this point in time. Verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. So that shows we are already rotating, just as the earth is today. Verse 5, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So here we have the first day, and God defines what a day is for people that say that God doesn't understand what a day is. He defines it as an evening and a morning. And this is the second term of the that we would need to know about how the Hebrews, what they think about time and how they define their day. They didn't start it like we did. We start a normal time at midnight, but really when we think about it, we think our day starts at sun up and then it ends. The next day starts at sun up. So ours, it would be really like a sun up to sun up. Theirs was opposite of that. Theirs was a sundown to sundown. So at 6 p.m., when the sun went down, that was the beginning of their next day. And then, so their darkness came before their daylight. So the end of their day was actually the daylight time of their day. And so that explains why Moses said an evening and a morning were the first day. And he says that, defines this way every time. Versus what we would say a morning and night was one day, but this is consistent with the Hebrew understanding. So at this point, the earth has made one rotation with this light source in the fixed position, and as it has rotated fully one time, the earth has, there is one full daylight cycle and one full darkness cycle. For one day. Verse 6, then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Now this Hebrew word that gets translated in a firmament in the New King James is better translated as an expanse. And we'll see this several different times that has several different meanings. One of them being the sky, and another that it's going to call the firmament or expanse will mean space. But this one is something different that God created in the beginning for a specific purpose. And this specific purpose was, he took out of all of the water that was covering the earth, he took a significant amount of that water and put it way up in the sky. Probably above where the clouds are, because we're going to find out the birds are later able to freely fly in between this expanse space. So up above the clouds, the astronauts say that space, they define space as starting at 50 miles up in the air, and that may be about where God has made this firmament or expanse to put this massive amount of water. And this firmament is the best way that I can understand what this is, something like a bubble or a canopy that surrounded the earth, and then there was this massive amount of water up above that, and this canopy is holding this water up way above, high above the earth. And it existed until God, there was so much unrighteousness that God had to destroy the earth with water, and he made holes. The text says in Genesis 7:11 that God opened up windows in this firmament. So he made holes and gaps, and that's where the water fell down, and it took 40 days and 40 nights for the water to come down. It was such a massive amount that he had placed up above the earth with this firmament. So this was some kind of a great creation that God had made, but he had to destroy that during the flood, and or at least start its demise during that time. Verse 7, "Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so." So you had the regular ocean, then you had a space or expanse that we would call the sky and air, and then this other expanse with all this massive amount of water surrounding the globe. Verse 8, "And God called the firmament heaven," and this expanse would be the first heaven, and so this would be what we would call the sky. So the evening and the morning were the second day. If we'd missed it the first time about what a definition, what God defines as a day in this creation, it's an evening and a morning. And the earth is rotating then just like it is now. Otherwise, there would be all kind of upheaval if the earth was going to change the speed at which it's rotating. Verse 9, "Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so." So now he is going to make the ocean go in all into one place, and he's going to pull land out from that was before this at the bottom of the ocean. And so now for the first time, the earth is not going to be formless. It is going to have a shape. And verse 10, "And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the seas, of the waters he called seas, and saw God saw that it was good." And so the ocean is just like it is today, as far as it is all one complete landmass, which is another great contiguous formation, which is very important because the ocean serves as a radiator, so to speak, for the earth to be able to cool it down and keep the temperature constant, and it moves heat just as a radiator removes heat from an engine. That is how the ocean functions for the earth, and it is very important that the earth be that the ocean to be one complete water flow contiguously and not be cut off anywhere. Otherwise, that would be like stopping up the radiator. So God was very thoughtful in making sure that the sea was all together as one body of water, and it still is today. Verse 11, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and this fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so." Here is another very important phrase that is used here, that as God is producing these plants, they produce according to their kind. And we will see that this is also how the animals will reproduce. And this will totally, this phrase totally obliterates evolution and that false line of thinking for, and it should, for anyone who believes in believes the Bible. Now, for the atheists that don't believe the Bible, that this is, means nothing to them. But for those that profess that they believe in the Bible, this phraseology that everything produces according to its own kind should eliminate any thoughts that evolution ever was ever a process for things coming into existence. And the other thing that I want to point out about this verse, everything is made full grown. All of these plants are already producing seed and yielding fruit. So he does not, he did not make anything in its infancy, or he did not have all these seeds that they had to sprout up. Everything was already full grown and fully producing, which is going to be important later on whenever we look into things that go to contrast what some of the false theories about creation are. Verse 12, and the earth brought forth grass, the herbs that yield the seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. We've already repeated here several times, God has, and God saw that it was good, and he will keep repeating this, except at the very last time, he'll say one time, we'll notice as we cover it, he saw that it was very good, and we'll see the difference in what that was, talking about creation versus everything else. He just says good instead of very good. Verse 13, so the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. So now, this is where God is going to create the sun and the moon at this particular time. And this firmament is what he is talking about, space is what we would call it. So these lights in the firmament to divide day and night. So whatever this original light source from verse 3 was, this is the sun and the moon, particularly the sun, that is going to replace that light source. And we don't know what that was, but it's not apparently, we don't know, we've never seen it again, because the sun has replaced that original light source. Verse 15, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. So the greater light to rule the day is the sun, and the lesser night is the moon. He also made the stars, and this will include all the planets in our solar system and all the other suns, which are our stars all over, and all the other galaxies. So this was a really big creation day, lots of creating that he did on this fourth day. This is the vast, I feel like it's an infinite space. There's no end to it. And that's how infinite the mind of God is. It has no limits. And as the scientists develop greater and greater telescopes, they are finding out more and more things about how deep and how broad and vast the mind of God is, to think about all the different intricacies of every planet and every star and every black hole and every everything. They're just astounded. And God did all of this in one day in his mind. Verse 20. Then God said, let the waters abound with the abundance of living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So this, the firmament that is this canopy that's holding up all this water is up above where the birds fly. And so they're able to easily fly through the air without being impeded by all of this water. Verse 21, so God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. So here, God is creating, everything is full grown, they are already reproducing, and they are reproducing after their own kind. Which we know, even scientifically today, that nothing reproduces out of another kind. And so from the beginning, this is the way God established it, that everything would produce after its own kind. And that's the way it is some 6,000 years later. Everything is performing exactly the same way, reproducing after their own kind. And this completely abolishes the false theory of evolution. Verse 22, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. So we've gotten this every time. An evening and a morning is the definition of what a day is. Each day is not an eon of time, millions and billions of years. It's every day is an evening and a morning. A literal 24 hours a day, because it was defined as a period of light and dark. Verse 24, then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. Now we have the land animals created, and again, they are all full grown and already reproducing according to their own kind. Verse 25, and God said, make the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, now we are getting to the pinnacle of God's creation. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God said, let us, which that is somewhat confusing to people because they're thinking of God as singular, but this is the first mention of what we now more fully understand that they probably did not back in Moses' day, what we know as the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three were present and actively working during this creation process. And they say, let us make man in our image. Well, what was their image? We saw that in verse 2. God is a spirit. And so God is going to make humans something different from all of the other creation that he had made, and it is going to be putting a spirit in every human being. And the second thing that he mentions here, that humans will have dominion over everything, all the creatures of the sea, over the birds, and over all the land animals, to the contrary of what environmentalist and animal rights activist want to claim today. They think that those are the supreme beings and humans need to decrease their population and so we can have more reign of animals and plants. But that is not at all what God's intentions were and what the ultimate idea of what creation is. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And this is important because Jesus is going to refer back to this verse and a little later on a passage that we're going to mention in the next session. And male and female, he created them. Verse 28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to the beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food," and it was so. Then God saw that everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So everything was always good up until the point that he creates man, the pinnacle of his creation, and he emphasizes that extra with "it was very good." He is extremely pleased with all of the creation, especially for the human creation that he has made, because everything that he had just created was for the humans. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And so we've had this six times repeated over. The definition of a day is an evening and a morning, one 24-hour literal day. Chapter 2, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." And there are detractors of the Bible and critics of the Bible and of God who want to make differences, because there were times in here that sometimes he would say he created something and other times he said he made things, and people have come up with the crazy thinking that, well, sometimes whenever he says created, that means that that was over millions of years, and then it would be a smaller time if he made things. But that is easily disputed just from this verse, chapter 2, verse 3, because two terms are used synonymously and interchangeably, and he uses them right together here, created and made. So they mean the same thing. So that is a false argument to criticize the creation being over 6 days. Verse 4, we will end with this verse. "This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord made the earth and the heavens." So this is God saying, this is the history of the creation of the heavens and the earth. And there, any other history outside of this that we hear is false. And it's unfortunate that the society has bought into a whole line of they don't call it creation, but the formation of everything that is currently exists. And it is completely different from this narrative that God is certifying. And God is the one that was there, in fact, the only one that was there. And he is certifying that this is the history and the way that the earth and all the life and all the bodies in space were created. And so we will end with this here. And for the next session, I plan to look at it, just in case people didn't quite get this on... that what a day is defined, God mentions it one more time to Moses, and we will look at that, and that really nails it down to prove that the creation was on six literal days. So at this time, let's stand and sing.